Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd help us as we think again about what it means to live a good life, to live a life that is pleasing to you. Help us to see how we can do that in a way which makes it easy for us, but also which promotes the message of the gospel, and in a way which encourages each other to do the same. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we began our study of virtue, of the good life, some 2 months ago, perhaps a bit more, with the story of the rich young ruler. He was a man who wanted to know that he'd have eternal life when he died. And he wanted Jesus to tell him some good thing that he could do to make sure that he got there. But instead, Jesus showed him that the solution wasn't a set of rules. Rather, it was a lifestyle change. His life needed to be spent following Jesus, because Jesus was the source of life. We also looked at the way Sully Sullenberger managed to land that plane in the Hudson River. He did it because of a lifetime of practice, a series of small decisions taken over and over again so that when the crisis arose, the right actions would be second nature. So today we come to the end of the series with the question still in our minds, how will we live so virtue grows in us? So goodness, godliness is second nature to us. We saw 2 weeks ago that'll involve three virtues, the great Christian virtues of faith, hope and love, along with the fruit of the Spirit being exhibited in our lives. And we've seen all the way through that this involves hard work. But is that true? Someone after my last sermon asked me, how come it's by hard work if it's the work of the Holy Spirit? Surely if the fruit of the Spirit are the gift of God, then they should happen automatically. And the answer to that is simple. Yes and no. It's a bit like an old Jewish joke about a man who prayed every day that he'd win the lottery. Eventually he got so sick of praying that he shook his hand up at God in heaven and asked him, God, why haven't you answered my prayer? My son, God replied, you need to meet me halfway. You could at least buy a ticket. Well, Paul says the same thing in more serious terms in Philippians chapter 2. In verses 12 and 13, he's just finished instructing the church to have the same mind that was in Christ Jesus, which sounds like an impossible task for mere mortals. But then he adds this, therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You see, it's something we have to work hard on if we want to have the mind of Christ. We've got to work it out, work out our own salvation. But then he adds, for it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. You see, this is a team effort. We work hard, we practice godly living, but it's God who gives us the power to do it, who changes our hearts through his Holy Spirit dwelling within us. But having said that, there's more to growing in this life of virtue than just hard work. As I said in the English congregation 2 weeks ago, God is gracious to us. He puts us in a church so we can grow together. And the way we do that, let me suggest, is through a combination of practices that we've called the virtuous circle. In English, we have an expression, a vicious cycle. Well, this is the opposite. It's a combination of elements that build on each other so that each circuit of the circle makes you stronger. And the elements are these. Scripture. Stories. Examples. Community. And practices. Because it's a circle, it doesn't matter at which point you enter, provided you keep moving around the circle. I thought it was interesting this morning in the testimonies that one of them, I can't remember which it was, entered the church through community, and now they've moved round to scripture and stories and examples. Well, scripture's at the top because it's there that we find God's revelation of his will for us, because there we find Jesus' teaching along with that of the apostles. And the scriptures are central to the formation of Christian character. We need to have our minds transformed so we understand what it is we're working towards and why it's important. And how do we transform our minds? Well, by studying God's word. By letting his word do its work within us. As we read and study it, we discover that we ourselves are actors in God's great story of salvation. We're part of a story that's not yet complete, but one where we know how it finishes, so that allows us to prepare for that ending. Scripture, as you read it, becomes habit-forming. It becomes character-building. And it becomes that as it works its way into our hearts and minds. But it also trains us to listen and learn from stories. As we read the scriptures, we discover the big story, the story of God's creation and redemption of the world. We discover the way he interacts with us human beings in a variety of ways. And of course, much of what we read in the scriptures is written in the form of narrative, of records of people and events. In these we find great examples of godly people, of courage and faith and perseverance in the face of opposition, of terrible judgment, of pride and vengeance, of injustice. We also find repeated examples of God's patience and loving kindness, of his efforts to save the people of his creation from themselves, of his warnings to repent, his instructions for godly living. But most of all, we find people caught up in the messiness of life, life in the real world, making the best of compromised situations, making huge mistakes and having to repair the damage that they've done. We don't have to look very hard at the great heroes of the Bible to see that for all their greatness, they were all flawed in some way. So as you read these stories, we discover the sort of behaviour that we should adopt because it pleases God. Or that we should avoid because it doesn't please God. This is what's called wisdom, the ability to discern what makes for godliness, to know what works in God's world and what doesn't. Our reading today from Hebrews 12 takes up that theme. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. The great cloud of witnesses there are the people that we read about in the Old Testament, people who persevered with faithfulness to the end. And he adds, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Our greatest example of perseverance is Jesus Christ himself. But of course, the good examples of Christian behaviour aren't only found in our Bibles. We have them all around us in the life of our fellow Christians. I'm sure you can all think of examples of people who've been great examples for you, models for you of Christian living. Again, this is a strong reason for being part of a church, isn't it? It's as we interact with each other, as we tell our stories, as we practice godliness together, that we grow stronger. Someone comes up with an idea for outreach and we're drawn into their enthusiasm for it. And people like Linda hear the gospel. Someone else is experiencing difficulty in their personal life and we all gather around them in support and prayer. Another person tells us of an encounter they've had with someone at work or at school. And we're blown away by the way they've been able to share their faith with someone. And the result of all this is that it works together to help us grow in our own practice of faithfulness and godliness. Practice is an interesting word, isn't it? The practices we follow implies something that we do repetitively or habitually. As a church, our practices include coming together for corporate worship, to sing praises to God, to share in communion together, to hear God's word proclaimed. It includes our meeting in small groups to pray for one another or with one another. It should include our joining together to work in God's service. For example, I know with one of our groups, community service is part of their regular practice. Giving generously and cheerfully to God here and elsewhere is part of our Christian practice, part of our Christian discipline. We do it as individuals, but it works out as a corporate practice as we pool our resources to fund God's work. Those of us who observed our Work for God Day this week did it as a corporate group, not as individuals. And finally, one of the most central things we do as a Christian community is to study the Scriptures together. This is because the study of Scripture reminds us that we're not just some strange club doing strange things together. Now, we're part of God's story. We're living out God's plan of salvation for the world. We're on a pilgrimage to rediscover what it means to be truly human as we worship God together, as we work for His kingdom, and as we seek to pass on His message of salvation to the rest of the world. Notice that it's Scripture that keeps the rest of the circle on track. Stories could go anywhere. Examples could be misunderstood. Communities can become inward-focused or even heretical. And practices can become merely empty rituals. But through the Scriptures, that all changes. God's Holy Spirit works through the reading, study and preaching of Scripture to shape our church culture, to correct, to chastise, to train us, to keep us on track, and to remind us of God's great love and grace shown in Christ Jesus. And so the circle continues. And as we go around that circle time and time again, our character is reinforced. And our behaviour becomes something that's no longer forced, becomes intuitive, second nature. So we know how to behave in whatever situation we find ourselves. Well, let's pray that we continue on this virtuous circle for all our lives until we finally get to God's kingdom where we won't need it anymore. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd help us to remember that the things we do build on each other. Help us at every stage of this circle to be looking to you, to guide us, to empower us. But Lord, help us to work hard at being godly. Work hard at knowing what the right thing to do is. Work hard at understanding your Scriptures so that they become the only thing that guides us in our life. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.